Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op Online Radio Network, restoring vitality to you and the planet. I'm your co-host, Scott Patton, and joining us, as usual, in this wonderful new year is the founder of the Life Enthusiast Co-op, Martin Patella. Hey, Martin, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Scott. 2011. This is amazing.
We're off to a new start in a new year.
Indeed. New beginnings.
New beginnings. And I had a very interesting thing happen over the last couple days that I wanted to share with you because it, to me, was an incredible example of, I believe, the power of what we put in our mouth.
Okay.
And I'm really curious to hear what you think of this and get your opinions on it.
Let's try.
A few days ago, I had to take my car in, so I was basically without transportation, and I had a couple meetings that were at the very close to the workplace of my girlfriend, so we decided that I would just stay there for 2 days during the week, which is unusual, but not dramatically unusual.
You have stayed overnight before.
I have. And she has a young daughter who's 7, and who I get along with great, and we know each other very well. So day one, we pick up her daughter from school, and her daughter is as the absolute worst case spoiled brat daughter that you could ever imagine.
You're kidding.
Yelling and screaming, I am an evil man, and nothing is good. She's picking fights with her mom. She's being disrespectful, slamming the door. She ends up being told to just go have your shower, get ready for bed, and then she tries to get out of it, and then she goes and has the shower, yelling and screaming and crying at the top of her lungs for... let's say, it felt like hours, but let's just say it was like 20 or 30 minutes, okay?
So this child threw a massive tantrum.
A massive tantrum over about a 4 or 5 hour period.
My God.
Okay? So, I'm thinking,
Would you say this was out of character for her?
I would say generally yes, but not, to this degree, I had never seen before, yeah. But she has, these behaviors have sort of popped up in minor doses.
Okay, all right.
Okay, so it's not like this was like we've never seen her like this or anything else, but it was ramped up more than I'd ever experienced. So then the next day, pick her up at school, and she is the most angelic girl you have could ever imagine.
All right.
Okay.
Loving, kind, and peaceful.
Loving, kind, and peaceful.
Okay. Right? All right.
Okay. So.
But just a question: Is she born in Gemini?
She's a Taurus.
Okay. Never mind.
And her mom's a Taurus.
Okay.
So from that perspective, it's very interesting. So okay, so as you can imagine, the difference between the 2 days was day one, she ate nothing for breakfast and she ate nothing of her lunch. She had her lunch and refused to eat it. And because she didn't like sandwiches, she didn't like this, she didn't like that. So it was kind of like, well, what do you like? Pasta. So her mom had made up some pasta. Oh, yeah, so the first night when she was all this going on and on and on, her mom had made up some pasta with some meat sauce,
okay,
and she fed it to her. And by the time she went to bed, she was embarrassed about the way she had acted and felt sorry and was calm again. Okay.
Okay.
So then the next day, her mom gave her some of the leftover pasta for lunch, which she ate. Okay. And it was interesting because we ended up having a bit of a discussion, and I said, well, I grew up on Kraft dinner, and of course the little girl was, oh, I love Kraft dinner, I want to have Kraft, and the mom was like, no, 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 it's just garbage, right? And of course, I said, well, I grew up on Kraft dinner, and, you know,
look at me now.
I survived, right?
Yeah, like, yeah.
And, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, if there's this little girl who we know is very stubborn, and you give her food to eat, and she refuses to eat it to the point where she doesn't even know she's hungry, because I think that's part of what happened. And then you give her something that at least, you know, she'll eat and not be a little hellion. I would kind of go with that and work with that, so at least she's calm, and then give her some better food. But anyway, I just thought, to me, and I think to her mom, what she put in her mouth or not had a huge impact on her emotional state.
So the second day she ate something different, yeah?
The second day she had a little bit of a breakfast, and then she ate her lunch, which was pasta.
All right.
And then she was a little angel.
Hmm. Okay, so this is...
Not Kraft dinner, but...
Right, so this is my turn now?
This is your turn now.
Do we know this kid's blood type?
I think it's O plus.
Yeah, okay, yeah, O positive, yeah.
O positive, yeah, mm-hmm. I think it's an O positive.
Yeah, the reason I ask it is because there's this magical thing in human design, biological individuality. We have two major types of physiology, and it's maybe 50-50, maybe 60-40 split in the population. And anyway, about half the people are alkalized by fruits and veggies. The other half is alkalized by fats and proteins. Mm-hmm. Now, when I say alkalized, that means if you're eating the wrong kind of diet, it's going to push your blood and your body fluids in the wrong direction. So if you're eating against your type, you're going to make yourself feel miserable. And if you're eating with your type, you're going to make yourself peaceful. And so that's one thing. And blood type O's typically should be eating very little carbs. And they should be eating the hunter-gatherer diet, you know, like...
Meat.
Yeah, meat is good. Or you can be a vegetarian, but you need to be eating healthy proteins, you know, like hemp protein or pea protein or, you know, plant protein, rice proteins are really good too. Or, you know, you could be eating the dairy kind of stuff, perhaps, you know. Except these days it's impossible to eat intelligent dairy because it's all pasteurized and that's not good.
Right.
So anyway, so let's just pretend that this would be the little hunter-gatherer daughter. We should really just have a fresh killed deer that we would maybe prepare some and feed it to her with some veggies and berries and send her off to school with a pemmican bar.
Yeah, I just wanted to...
Ideal world, right?
Right.
Anyway, the sort of stuff that would really slay her is indeed too much pasta and bread and chips and pop and all of that. And here's how it would go. It would give rise to fungus, to candida and other nasty fungal and growth in her digestive system. Mm. So when this person with an overgrown or overpopulated wrong kind of terrain in her body doesn't feed it the carbs that it craves, it makes her mad. Mm. So when you do feed it the carbs that it wants, it calms down. But in the long run, it's not helping.
Okay.
So I think if I were advising the situation there, I would be recommending that you make a very, very concerted effort into eating the primal diet and slowly but surely wean the child off of the carbs so that the candida dies off, goes away. And I would really promote fermented cultured veggies, sauerkrauts and the likes, you know, as a source of decent probiotics, prebiotics, all of that sort of business that the digestive system requires.
Right, right. Interesting. So we have a case here where what looks like solving the problem is actually making the problem worse.
I wouldn't say worse, but you're sort of, you know, there's a combination. I mean, in an emergency, you need to do what the emergency requires.
Right.
So this sort of reminds me of how the medical system works. You know, they do the right thing for you in the emergency. They're fantastically good at that. You know, if you present in an emergency room with a heart attack, they save you. They just, you know, well, not all of them, but many, or something maybe less difficult. Anyway, you present yourself with a crisis. They're really good at solving crises.
Right.
But what they're not good at is preventing the crisis from happening in the first place. So,
exactly,
you know,
yeah.
So the pasta meal was a decent solution to the problem, or at least eating, period, was a decent solution to the problem. But what it's pointing at is that going hungry is causing her this phenomenal mental distress, which I would really suspect is caused by the overgrowth of the wrong kind of creatures in her system. So isn't it funny that this would happen in her household, because of course she is so fully aware of this problem, she helps other people with it.
Yeah.
And this is classic, because this is the cobbler's kids going barefoot, and the doctor heal thyself admonition, right?
Yeah.
Because I know, I mean, I just recently lost some data because I didn't back up and I lost my hard disk. I mean, how ridiculous is that? I'm an IT specialist.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or last night I ate some Christmas cake that my wife made. I know better. I feel horrible today. And I know exactly why I feel horrible. But standing there in the kitchen with my desire for some oral pleasures, it just called. It just said, eat me.
There, yeah. And who can resist that?
Well, you know, so I know I'm not holier than anyone, but I certainly know the answer there.
That's funny. Good. Well, that's very interesting, and it gave me some insights that I was, because I really wanted to tell you how much I appreciate your insights there,
yeah.
Martin, because I was thinking the opposite way. I was thinking, this is great. Just change your diet, feed her lots of pasta, and of course your mom is saying, no, that's not the right thing to do.
Yeah.
But, and I'm going, well, look at the difference, right?
Yeah.
And here's a case where, yes, there's a big difference, but that's because it's really the opposite.
Yeah, the best analogy I can give you is, here you have a heroin addict just shaking in horrendous trouble, right?
Yeah.
The nicest thing you can do for him is to shoot him with more heroin. But it's not...
Yeah, stop
but it's
the shaking.
Not, yeah, but it's not the long-term strategy that's going to get him off of that.
Right.
So next time he's going to run out, it's going to be even worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
interesting.
Yeah.
So, well, that's cool. So we're off to a great start in the new year.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I also wanted to ask you about was, because I don't think we've talked about it ever. Maybe we have, but I don't recall. Is pregnancies?
I love it. Yes, pregnancies. I love it when it happens to me. I tell you this one.
What, pregnancies happen
to you? No. When it happens to me that I cannot recall whether we did or didn't talk about something. And, of course, after 3 years together, you know, what
200
have,
episodes.
What have we not talked about?
Well, I don't think two guys usually spend much time talking about pregnancies.
So this is good. My friend, he's practically a legend, because when he married his first wife, he was younger than she. And she already had a 15-year-old kid when he married her.
Wow.
So this kid now is 50 years old. And then he had two kids with the wife. And then unfortunately she passed away.
Oh.
And so I was actually instrumental in introducing him to this younger, much younger woman. So anyway, this younger woman is now, I think, 50, no, more 17 years younger than he.
Okay.
Anyway, so they had one kid, and now they have a second one on the way.
On the way.
On the way. So now, of course, this guy is a father to a 50-year-old, a 33-year-old, a 30-year-old, 5-year-old, and the next thing coming. And this fellow is now 58, right?
Yeah.
So,
wow.
Actually, he and I talk a lot, and you know, he trusts me a lot because I have really been instrumental in helping him turn his physique around. He was in trouble, and isn't now. I mean, he's doing fantastic. In fact, the reason for this pregnancy is because he has improved his hormonal function so much that he has become very interested. Anyway, that's not the point. So here we are with the pregnancy. And so it was put to me, well, what do you suggest? What do you advise? What do you want to tell us that we would hear in the mainstream? And
yes.
That was the cutest thing. I went online and I typed in nutrition in pregnancy and holistic pregnancy, and you know, I chased this thing around the internet to see what's out there. I clicked on many articles, and I am so disgusted because there's just so much crap. I mean, you know, this sort of the mainstream lies that just babble about how you're supposed to avoid wine and eat a rational, reasonable diet, you know.
Yeah.
It's just sort of platitude stuff that is without substance, you know. It's just babble. Anyway, I found that just disheartening to see that if a person actually wanted to get educated out there, it would take phenomenal amount of effort. So instead, I sat down and started writing the diary from the trenches of the alternative health as to what you need to know. Because in our industrialized society, it's pretty much everywhere now, whether you're in Germany, United States, or I don't know, Australia, you're probably going to be in the same kind of situation.
Yes, that's right.
So
so what do you do if you're a woman who's pregnant and wants to make sure that her baby is born healthy and strong and she's without defects and that she's going through it so that she's not dismantling her body in the process?
Yes, exactly. Well, yes, excellent point. Well, the first one that comes to me, comes to mind, is folic acid. You know, that is one thing that I did read, you know, supplement with folic acid. But here goes, again, the mainstream pharmaceutical approach. They have isolated this one thing, because they always like to isolate the one thing, you know, the silver bullet that's going to do it. So they have come up with, well, the folic acid is the most important component of this, and that's what we're going to recommend to supplement. So they say supplement with folic acid. But if you deconstruct it, folic acid really is the main component of folate. And if you understand what that is, it's the dark green stuff in leafy things. You know, foliage, leaves, you know.
Yeah.
That's what it's from. It's the green stuff. So
kind of what you're saying is rather than just getting this one substance, it's kind of like, you want to live a life that's like a rainbow, but what you're being told is you just get red.
Yeah, because we've noticed that red is important in this one situation.
Right, whereas it's the whole rainbow you really want to get.
Well, you know, if we were supposed to be eating folic acid supplements, then that's what the gorillas in the mist on the mountain in wherever that is it Congo?
Yeah.
Would be eating, right?
They'd be picking them off the...
They'd be picking off the folic acid capsules off the trees because that's what the doctor says.
Right.
But that's not how we're built. I mean, the logic of it is just so asinine, right?
Yeah.
So why would nature build us the way we are built? Well, let me say it better. We are not designed to graze in a pharmacy.
Right.
We are designed to graze in a natural environment, and that means that things come together for a reason. You know, in an apple, there is fiber and water and vitamins and minerals and energy and stuff like that. It's there for a reason.
Yeah.
And we are designed to ingest it all together, not separate. So folic acid, well, eat dark green things. You know, chlorella, spirulina, alfalfa leaf juice, barley leaf juice, kale, dandelion, Swiss chard, you know, go for it.
Right, right.
So that is the folic acid that I would recommend.
Right, cool. So don't just get folic acid. Find out what it's in. Like you said, alfalfa, spirulina, barley, grass, wheatgrass.
Yeah, all of them.
Dark leafy vegetables. So when I go and, say, make a juice and I use carrots and beets, maybe I should put the beet leaves in the juice too?
Yes, you should, yeah.
And I always cut them off and put them in the compost. So my compost has lots of folic acid.
Yes, sir.
No wonder. I thought I was seeing little capsules starting to grow on the trees around here.
Okay. So anyway, this is important, and it's the reason it's important is because it prevents birth defects. Okay. So okay. Especially in older people, older women, you know, if you're 30 plus, you should start worrying about birth defects more than if you're a 20-year-old. So definitely important. And also really important, I mean, this one is perhaps even more important because if you're suffering from deficiency in iodine, you have a high probability that you will have a miscarriage, lose the pregnancy, or if you do carry to term, that you will have complications with the child, birth defects as well, you know, low birth weight, low intelligence. Can you believe that such a simple thing as optimal iodine intake ensures that your child is not stupid?
That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's just insane that this is not just pounded into the population from every corner. I mean, have you heard of it? I mean,
no.
You know, like, you're contemplating pregnancy, well, make sure that you're loaded with iodine. Anyway, so
no one says that.
No one says that. And yet, it's out there. The research is readily available. We have the pages on the Life Enthusiast website that, you know, if you go research products, iodine, you will find it there. It's, you know, there are studies that have been quoted, studies that have been conducted, and they're quoted in the scientific literature, and all medical, or I shouldn't call it medical, all health practitioners who make it their focus to work with natural means.
Yep.
They have ready access to this.
Yeah. So it's not a secret.
No. This is well known. So if you've women, if you've had difficult periods, you know, like bloatiness or emotional difficulties or painful, swollen breasts, fibrocystic breasts, all of that. Those are all signs of a need for iodine. So that was the second thing I said. My gosh, make sure that you load up on iodine. And then,
right.
Then of course,
know, so from a guy's perspective, we're kind of short on this iodine stuff too, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, a man who is short on iodine for 25 years will end up with prostate cancer.
So there's a good reason.
Yeah, don't leave it just to the girl. Eat it with her. Yes. And then the third really important thing is minerals. You know, you're going to be building a new body from the reserves that you have in yours. So you're going to be actually pulling calcium out of your own bones and magnesium and potassium and all of the other minerals. They'll be coming out of your reserves to build the fetus. So whatever you're deficient in now, you're going to be really deficient in later.
Right.
So, of course, we know that the common deficiency is magnesium. 60% of the population is clinically deficient in magnesium, so assume that you should be supplementing. You should be bathing with magnesium salts. It's very relaxing, and it's very calming, and it's building a strong, calm baby.
Right. Now, why shouldn't we just get a magnesium? I hate to ask this question after we went through the whole thing with folic acid, but why don't I just go and get a magnesium pill?
Right. Well, you know, it used to be, and it's documented again, that there was magnesium in the carrots or the other vegetables that you ate. But we now know that the 1995 carrot has only 30% of the magnesium that 1927 carrots used to have. And,
wow.
And in 1930s, when they did research, they were already alarmed at the decline in mineral content of the produce that they were growing, you know, farm produce. So what's the point? The point is that there's no chance that you can have enough natural minerals in the food because it's not in the field. Now, you're saying, why wouldn't I take it as in a pill? You can take it in a pill. It's not a problem. You know, you can go buy magnesium citrate, the famous Calms, and ingest it. But at about 2,000 mg a day, you're going to reach the it's called bowel tolerance. You're going to have a diarrhea, loose bowel.
And so you can't get enough in your mouth to make the difference that you need.
Because your body will purge it, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
That's correct.
And, you know, it's a great distressor, just laying in a nice hot bath full of magnesium.
Uh-huh. You mean D-stressor.
Yes.
Yes. Because I heard you distressor, and I didn't want to be distressed.
No, de-stressor.
Yeah, it is.
Distressor.
Indeed. Anyway, it's most wonderful. So that's pretty much the three major things. I mean, there are other, you know, we could rattle off a bunch of other things, like collagen is good, silica is important for building connective tissue, essential fatty acids are important for keeping you calm and pliable and again out of the range, and oxidative stress is an issue because your energy demands are up, so you should be taking antioxidants, you know, all the vitamins, B's and C's and whatever's. Mm-hmm. Of course, if you're eating a good blend, you know, like the chlorella spirulina superfood kind of blend, you're good. You know, it's taken care of. You don't need to worry.
Right.
But there are some universal supplements like Phi Sciences, Flanagan's Mega Hydrate. That's a fantastically useful product. It's a universal electron donor, so if you're suffering from oxidative stress, there it is. Easy.
Cool.
Well, if you're confused, come for a consultation. Contact us. read online, you know, life-enthusiast.com. And if you're having difficulty getting your way around it, give us a call. The number's on the website. It's 1-866 543-3388. We answer the phone. We're available. We're compassionate and caring, and take the time to explain things.
Right, and that's I think that's really important, because I know just like we talked about earlier in this particular episode,
the pasta.
The pasta thing, it's like, here I am getting the result I want, doing the wrong thing, which is just going to, you know, make future results much worse.
Yes, yeah, you're postponing the disaster.
Postponing the disaster. And we don't want to postpone disaster. We want to make sure the disaster doesn't happen.
That's it. So, I'd like to say, Scott, thanks. Good to talk to you again after this break we took. And Life Enthusiast Co-op, restoring vitality to you and to the planet. Come talk to us. Thank you for listening.
See you next time, everybody.